wanted to share something with you here real quick. I apologize that you looked up here during the song services and I was fiddling with a phone. That's the first time you've ever seen me with a phone in my hand with church, when church is going. I hardly have one in my hand outside of church. I just don't use these. But I asked Dwayne if he had his phone on him because there was a song that I was thinking about this afternoon, and I was going to quote part of this song at the close of this morning's service, but I could not remember all of the words to it. And I forgot about it and then just now remembered, and so I asked him if he had his phone, and I looked it up real quick. It is a song called If You Knew Him. I don't know if you've ever heard this, but anyhow, I was thinking about it this morning. I wanted to share. Don't go to sleep because I won't be able to wake you up, phone. Okay. But I wanted to share this with you. It says, I walked by the tomb of Buddha, looked inside, and saw his bones. But let me just see if I can remember how to sing it. I walked by the tomb of Buddha, looked inside and saw his bones. Traveled on to see Mohammed, still wrapped up in his grave clothes. Then I journeyed to a garden where old Joseph left him lay, and the precious lamb, God's only begotten, was no longer in that grave. That's good, isn't it? That's good. I don't know how I'm going to push that button, and hopefully this thing won't ring while I'm preaching. So I paused the episode of Dragnet you were watching, so you can pick that up later. 1 John. Just the facts, man. Just the facts, man. Okay, boy, I thought of that song this morning, and I like that. 1 John chapter 2, we will try to finish up chapter 2 this evening and then move on to chapter 3 next week. And I'll just go ahead and tell you, chapter 3 is where the real fun starts in the book of 1 John. Chapter 3 is what contains the truths that I have really been looking forward to preaching in 1 John. The entire book is a good book, but one of the main truths out of this book, and one of the main reasons that I felt like we needed to go through this book right now, is chapter 3 talks about the one born of God who does not sin. And if you don't understand, remember when we started this study, I pointed out context. If you don't know what's being talked about, who's being talked about, what's being referenced, then you will live your life as a Christian depressed, beaten down, downtrodden, as Carol likes to say, crestfallen. You'll just walk through, because chapter 3, and I'm not going to preach on that tonight, but chapter 3 has a standard that's so high, if you don't understand what's being talked about, you'll look at it and say, who could possibly meet that? But in chapter 3, there's just so many wonderful truths there that if we don't have them right, if we don't understand what God is talking about and who and what is in view here in chapter 3, it just brings a lot of trouble. However, if we understand it, it makes so many things about being a Christian a whole lot easier to understand, and it brings about peace and it brings about assurance. So chapter 3 is when the steam really picks up and we're really going to get down to it, and we're going to get to that next week. I think next Sunday morning, though, we will only be in verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. You could preach all year about that right there. I'm going to try to confine it to one Sunday morning service if I can next week. But this evening, as we finish up chapter 2, we find ourselves in verse 24. And this morning we looked at a few things here in this chapter, and we kind of finished up there talking about what is meant here when we find the term Antichrist, and we find that in 23, whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. And tonight, as we come to verse 24, we will kind of conclude what we were talking about this morning, and then we'll move on to another thought here in just a minute. But the last thing that I tried to stress this morning was this. John, the Holy Spirit, through the pen of John in this book, in this chapter, is warning about seducers. He's saying they went out from us, but they were not of us. And we looked in Matthew where Christ said, beware of these false prophets who come in sheep's clothing, but they're actually what? Ravening wolves. So there are people that look the part, and they talk the part, and they might put the coat on, but they're not the part, are they? And we are warned about them. And if you remember this morning, I pointed out that you have to be strong in the Word. You have to be strong in the faith. Why? So that you won't be seduced, so that you won't be drawn away, so that you won't be cast about. We have to know what the Word says. We don't have to be a scholar on everything that the world believes. We just have to know this book, and then we will know if what they're saying lines up with the book. You just have to know the truth. If you know the truth, not that there's anything wrong with knowing a little bit about what others believe and everything, but I would warn you against spending your time digging into that and studying into that. Dig into the Word. Study the Word. If you know the Bible, and then when false doctrine comes, you don't have to know what that person believes. You just have to know what the Bible says. And you can say, you know what, I never heard that before, but I know it's not in this book. And that's not the Word of God. And so we have to stand strong. I want to finish up with that tonight. We did say this morning, we looked at the Bereans in the book of Acts and how they took everything to the Word. Let's take everything to the Word. And don't wait. Like I said, some Sunday school programs, the older saints, they call them the Bereans. Don't wait until you're an older saint to be a Berean. Start being a Berean as soon as you get saved. Take everything to God's Word. Bring it all into subjection into God's Word and see where does this fall in line. But tonight, if we look at this verse 24, it says, let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. This is not talking about your salvation, because if it was, that would mean you have to do something to make sure that that abides in you and you stay saved. But it's talking about this truth that has been delivered to you, this truth that has been preached to you. You know, we have a home. We have a home, and a lot of you have been to our home, and right now, my family, we're not abiding in that home, are we? We're not there. We're abiding in this building right now. We go home tonight, we'll be abide. That's our home, but we don't abide in that home all the time. We go to work, we go to town, we go different places, okay? So to abide in something means that we're going to have to stay put, we're going to have to stay there. And I'm going to say more about that here in just a moment. But the truth that has been preached to us and has been delivered to us, we have to stay in God's Word and stay familiar with that truth, because it is oftentimes so easily forgotten. You're dead to sin, but you still carry around that flesh that doesn't want to have anything to do with God. And so there's this battle that goes on, and there's a world out there that tries to get you off track and sideline you. And sometimes we get off track and we get sidelined by things that aren't even sinful. Sometimes good things that we get our priorities out of line. We get our priorities out of whack, and we give too much time to something that in and of itself is not bad, but we give too much time to it, and then we neglect being in God's Word. You say, well, you know, I've heard that, and I've heard that, and I've heard that. I know that. You don't have to tell me that. You don't have to keep, I don't have to be in that. I've already read that. Hey, I've read the Bible from cover to cover. I've read the Bible from cover to cover. And every time I go back and open its pages, I keep learning stuff and keep finding things. As Pastor Gibson said, still learning. When does it end? not on this earth. You just keep learning, you keep learning, you keep taking it in. Oh, I didn't realize that was there. I didn't, you know. Just a couple months ago, maybe it's been longer than that, but I kept repeating something in Sunday school that was wrong. And Sister Penny came to me afterwards and said, look here. And I had read that. It was the very next verse, and I read it in my study, and then for some reason when I got up to preach it, I forgot. So don't read it cover to cover and then think, okay, I've got it. No, we have to abide in God's Word. We have to let His Word abide in us. We have to let it continue to do the work. We have to stay strong. You know, I took a class, I was telling on Tuesday, the ladies missionary they were working downstairs, and I was we were talking about last Sunday when Brother Fincher was preaching and Clayson started choking and I had to run out with him and scared some of Pastor Sister Pat Kay said she'd never seen me move that fast. Well, probably not. The pastor doesn't make a habit of running in church. His 4-year-old does, but he doesn't. But we were talking about choking and all this, and I was telling the ladies that when I used to work for the elementary school, I took a class on CPR and first aid and all of that. And normally that class takes a few days and they go through you. Well, they have an expedited class. You can go and take it all in one day. I don't recommend it. It's too much, too fast, and it's hard to remember it. But you take a class like that, I remember a lot of the things. I think I remember the most important things. I could probably keep you alive till the ambulance got here. Let's not try it, but I probably could. But I know there's a lot of things I forgot too. And so what is recommended is that a person go back from time to time and get a refresher. Doctors do that. They go and they get refresher courses and everything. We have to constantly be in God's Word being refreshed. Because if we're not, it is so easy for us. Like the song says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. We so often get away from God's Word, and sometimes it's busyness of life, and sometimes it's any number of things. It might be something sinful, and we need to repent of that. It might just be busyness, and who knows what it is. It's different things. But the result is the same. We get out of His Word, and we get weak. You know, the Bible likens itself to food, to bread, water. Go without eating for a few days and see what happens. Now, here's the kind of preaching that we don't like. Too often, you go without food and water for a few days, and you'll be so hungry, you'll do anything for a sandwich. You'll do anything for a slice of pizza or a glass of milk or something. The sad thing is, we go 3 or 4 days without feeding upon God's Word, and too often we feed that hunger with something else. And too often we instead of that hunger driving us back, sometimes if we're not careful, we'll feed it with other things. You know, junk food will probably keep you alive, but it won't keep you in very good shape, will it? It'll keep you going. It'll give you some of what you need and everything, but you're going to be in bad shape if you live on that stuff. You're going to be in bad shape if you live on that stuff. When we're away from God's Word, there ought be when we look and see the result, look what's going on. Man, what's going on? I haven't been hearing from God. I haven't been letting Him talk to me in His Word. That ought to create a hunger that drives us back to His Word. Let's stop going to a strange table. Let's stop bellying up to the world's table and filling it that way. Let's stay hungry and thirsty for God's Word. Don't you always end up back there anyhow? Don't you always end up back there after you've gorged on the junk of the world? Then you, what happens? You spend all day at a carnival, and at the end of the day, you get sick. And then you realize, boy, I need something with some substance, something that's good for me. You belly up to the world's table. You can stay there for a while. It's going to have the same result. You're going to have to come back to God's Word anyhow. Let's go there first thing. Let's stay there. Let's stay in His Word. Let's look at a few passages. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 is the first one I want you to go to. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5. Just a few verses here on this matter. If we're going to recognize these false prophets, if we're going to recognize those who seduce, then what are we going to have to do? Well, we're going to have to know, as we read in John this morning, we're going to have to know the voice of our shepherd. He said, "My sheep hear my voice." Okay, so we're going to have to know His voice, and we're going to have to hang on to what we know. If we're going to let this abide in us, this truth that we have, this word that we have, if it's going to abide in us and we're going to continue in those things, then we need to make sure that we do a few of these things. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21, we read, "Prove all things, hold fast that which is good." Okay, prove all things. Take everything to God's Word and hang on to it. When we read God's Word and we get our instruction and we know what we're supposed to do, hold fast. You know, holding fast is not the same as just holding. Get a good grip on it. Get a good grip on God's Word. You read something, you study something, if you're not satisfied that you understand it, you stay with it until you understand it. But you know, I've been trying to figure that out for weeks. You stay with it till you understand it. You might get it in the first reading. It might take a while. But the meaning is there. Hold fast. And then when you get it, when you get that truth, hang on to it. Go over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And find verse 15. We're told to hold fast, and in 2 Thessalonians 2:15, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast." Plant your feet. "Stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle." Get a hold of God's Word, learn what it means, hang on to it, and stand on it. Let it be your sure foundation. Let it be your sure foundation. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Second Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13, we find it again. "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." You know, God's Word, these are sound words. This is good doctrine, as Proverbs, I believe it's chapter 4, Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 2 tells us. "I give unto thee good doctrine." Is what the author was saying to his son. This is good doctrine. These are sound words. You say, well, you know, does he give sound advice? Does he give, you know, if you say, does someone give sound advice, that means, is it good advice? Does it do what it's supposed to do? These are sound words. You will never be defiled reading this book. You will never be led astray reading this book. You know, it's something how God can write on certain subjects. And you can read and know what's being talked about, and the language is perfect to where you can read it, and it might be a touchy subject, and your mind still not be defiled. Because God knows how to use, He knows exactly what words to use. Talks about, you know, this Bible talks about some of the most heinous sins. And you can read it and know what's being talked about and not have filth put in your mind and not be defiled, because God knows how to talk about things, doesn't He? He knows how to talk about things. These are sound words. This book tells you not to have any other gods before Him. Those are sound words. This book tells us husbands to love our wives the same way that Christ loved us and loved the church. Those are sound words. Tells wives how to revere and respect their husbands. Those are sound words. Tells children how to behave and how to listen to instruction and how to grow. Those are sound words. Obeying God's word will never defile you. It will lead you out of defilement. It will lead you away from defilement. He'll never lead you through the muck, but God's word will bring you out of the muck once you've gotten into it. God's word, they're sound words. Hey, hang on to them. Hold fast to them. You ever had something that was given to you and it was of great value? Maybe what you were given had a great monetary value to it, or maybe it really wasn't worth much to everybody else, but it was worth a lot to you because of where it came from. My mother a few years ago gave me a little pouch, and I couldn't find it for a while. And I was pretty upset that I couldn't find it because of what was in it. Now, I found it, and I don't remember, but I probably found it in a silly place, but I found it. But she gave me this little pouch, and inside of it, it had... These items are of no value, no monetary value to anybody. You wouldn't give me a dime for the things in this pouch. But in this pouch, there's a little book, and it has some of my schoolwork and report cards from, you know, my first few years in school, and that really isn't of a whole lot of value to me. But here's what's in there that is. My grandparents had twin boys. My mom had twin brothers that were older than her. These were my grandparents' first children, were these twin boys. And when they were 10 years old and my uncle was about 5 or 6 and my mom was just a baby, they both drowned up in Indianapolis. One of them slipped into a creek and couldn't swim, and the other one took his clothes off so nobody would know he was in the water. He couldn't swim either, and he went in to try to save his brother, and both of them drowned. And my other uncle, who's still alive, he was about 6, he was watching, he was there, and he ran home, but then by the time word got to my grandparents, when they came to the creek, it was up in Indianapolis, when they came to the creek, he went another way home, and they thought they'd lost all three at once. Went home and found him at home asleep on the porch swing and cried himself to sleep. Well, my mom gave me the original newspapers from when that happened. And it has my grandparents in it. It has a picture of my uncle in his cowboy uniform where the newspaper took a picture of him. He went home, cried himself to sleep. I have the funeral bill from the funeral home from there. You know, I know that might sound kind of like a morbid thing, but that's... those are precious to families. They're memories, aren't they? Even if they're bad memories, they're important to you. They mean something to you. That little stack of things there, that means something. That's it. That's important. I have items that Amy likes to, she's very crafty. She likes to make things. I have a little book that you unfold, and it's called, I think she calls it a flip book or a fold book, and it folds out like an accordion. And she gave it to me one year for Christmas that she made and put time into it. And it has pictures of her and the kids and everything. And I have stuff like that. I have a little sign on my wall by my desk that she made for me where she took pictures. We take pictures of objects that look like alphabet, look like the alphabet. That clock would be an O. You know, a pipe might be an L. And she made me a little frame when I started here at this church. And it just says pray, made out of those letters. You wouldn't give me a dime for it, but I wouldn't take anything for it. I'm just asking you to call to remembrance something like that in your life. It might be something in your purse or wallet that you never leave behind. It might be something that's that's locked away somewhere at home. It might be something that has been passed down to you, and you're going to pass it down to somebody else. But what do you do with it? You guard it. You hold on to it. It's important to you, isn't it? It has value. Do you treat God's word that way? Do we hold fast to His word? Is it of value? There are a lot of things we would maybe run into our house if it was burning to save. Would the Bible be one of them? Would we go in and want to save our copy of God's word? Do we hold fast? Is this important? Do we stay in it and learn it and keep it in here and keep it close and hold on to it and not let people sway us this way and that way and listen to the voices of the world? Or is it one of those things where people talk about the Bible and they quote Scripture and you don't know what they're talking about because, oh, I never read that. Sometimes somebody will bring something up and we'll forget that it's in there, but we ought at least have an idea of what the Bible says, shouldn't we? Do we hold fast to what's in here? If you go over to Hebrews chapter 10 and look at verse 23, Hebrews 10, 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Now look at this. Without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. I like that. Without wavering. Look, if you're saved, you have professed Jesus Christ, hang on to that. Not to stay saved. Not to stay saved. He keeps you saved. The Holy Spirit has sealed you. But hang on to the gospel and share it with other people. Hang on to that testimony and share it with other people. Do what you do because of who God has made you to be. Hang on without wavering. Church, I want to tell you, the reason that we have some of the problems that we have around us today is because too many Christians and churches are wavering. They're wavering. I get so tired of seeing church signs that advertise two separate services. I get so tired of seeing traditional service, 9 a.m., contemporary service, 10 or 11. I've shared with you before. You know why? Because the people that are interested in the contemporary service, they're not getting out of bed till 10, 10:30. This is my thought. Are we going to worship God in two separate services when we get to heaven? Is there going to be a corner for the traditionalist over here and then a corner for the contemporary? Are we all going to worship the same God? How about this? Are we worshiping the same God right now? Then why can't we do it together? Why can't we do it together? You know what happens? You know why that happens? Because churches and pastors and Christians start wavering. They start wavering. Because that pew emptied and that pew emptied. And that one back there, somebody disappeared. And what are we going to do? And how are we going to keep the lights on? And how are we going to keep the bills paid? And how's pastor going to get his paycheck? And how are we going to keep this thing going? What are we going to do? Well, you know what? That music we never would allow, maybe it's not so bad. That dress we never would allow, yeah, maybe we'll let that slide. You know what? Those Bible versions that we wouldn't allow, maybe they're not too bad. You know how we used to preach against sin? Maybe people don't really need to hear that, and they start wavering. And then somebody who knows God's Word walks in and says, this is church? No. No, it's an ecumenical Laodicean mess is what it is. So we don't waver. You see, we don't worry about numbers to start with. So whether they rise or fall, we don't worry about it because that's all in God's hands. We just preach His Word, and if you want it, you come here and get it, and if you don't, you'll go somewhere else, and we're not going to chase you, and we're not going to try to convince you, and we're not going to throw pizza parties to get you here. We're just going to preach this Word. Can I share my heart with you for just a minute? One thing. I was sharing this with Brother Fincher. One thing. I love a lot of things about being your pastor. I do. I love a lot of things about being your pastor. I don't understand how so many pastors complain about the pastorate. I love it. Don't you love it, Pastor Gibson? Boy, to be called to do something like, am I humbled? Absolutely. Am I scared to death? Absolutely. Is it a big responsibility? Absolutely. But I love it. I love it. Okay? One of the things that I love so much about being your pastor is this. I knew when I came here, and I knew this from just observing and talking and getting to know the church, that this was a church where from its inception, it's been the Bible and nothing else. I've had some of you tell me that, but you didn't need to tell me. I could already tell that. This church is the Bible and nothing else. Brother Randy told me a few years ago, he said, we're just interested in the Bible. And I said, well, that's good, because that's all I'm interested in doing is preaching the Bible and nothing else. Okay? In a church where we just want the Bible and we just want to be obedient and we want to go out and we want to preach the gospel so that lost people will be saved, and we want to, we're not trying to build a big church, we're trying to labor in the kingdom. And we're trying to lead people not to Faith Baptist Church, but to Jesus Christ. And then we want them to come here so that we can teach them and they can be discipled and everything. But we want people to be led to Christ, and we want to be who God wants us to be. And we want to be good husbands and wives and children and fathers and mothers and all of those things, and neighbors and co-workers and bosses. We want to be those things. I'll tell you this. This is one thing that's very special about pastoring here. When you pastor in a church that just wants the word, and when you pastor a church where that's all we have for you is the word, when people keep coming back, you never have to worry about what you preach. You never have to worry about what you preach. I promise you that I have never sat at my desk and thought, oh, I wonder how this is going to go over. Never. I have sat and wondered, now, how do I preach this correctly and keep my opinion out of it? And how do I make sure that I don't hurt people's feelings with my opinion? But if the word hurts us, that's what we need. But see, when a church doesn't waver, and when a church just sticks with the word and doesn't worry about numbers and doesn't care about numbers, and that's all up to God, and we don't get upset about that, here's the finished product. Here's what you end up with. You end up with a group of people who, if they keep coming, they must want the word and nothing else. And then you don't have to worry. You don't have to worry. Some pastors every week have to deal with petty Christians who are constantly getting their feelings hurt. And you'd think they were state university students or something, where they can't handle any, you know, they're just constantly being offended and upset and everything. And you know, the one thing that I do less here, the one pastoral duty that I have that I almost never get to perform is counseling. I don't have people banging on my door all the time, oh, pastor. Now, if you're in an oh, pastor moment, your pastor's here. But I'm just saying, if you just preach the word and let it do the work, and people let it do the work in their lives, you don't have to baby people. Where do you get that? By not wavering. We believe this word. We hold fast to this word. We don't waver. We stand on this word. We say, here's what we have. We have the Bible for you. We have Jesus Christ for you. We have discipleship for you. We have the truth for you. And that's all you're going to get here. And we're not going to waver. And we're going to hold fast. And we're going to stand fast. And church, that's how you build your house on the rock. That's how you build your house on the rock right there. And that's what God is calling us to do. And that's how we let the truth abide in us. Let it just keep constantly. It's like, this isn't a great illustration, but you know, they can't all be, can they? But this is... You think about someone who goes into a hospital or something, and they get that IV and they get that fluid. Hey, as long as that thing's running, they're getting what they need. They're getting what they need. That thing gets taken out or pinched or stepped on or something, you're not going to get what you need. You let that word abide in you, and you live in that, and you're obedient to God's word. But how's it going to abide in us if we don't get it in there? If we don't get it in there through reading and studying and listening to preaching and meditating upon it, and how's it going to do the work it's supposed to do if it's not in there? Why? While you're in Hebrews, go back to chapter 4. Why is it so important for us to hold fast to this word, to hold fast to what we've been taught. Why is it so important that we not waver? Why is it so important to let the Word of God abide in us and keep that truth in there and stay in it and stay in it and stay in it and let it keep doing the work? Hebrews chapter 4. And verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. The only reason you need, the only motivation you need for everything that you do is because Jesus Christ gave His life for you. You say, well, why am I in this word? Because you're not going to hell now. Because you're saved. Why do we go to church? Because I'm not going to hell anymore. I'm saved. Because Jesus Christ. If there's ever a why when it comes to your Christian service, if you ever, like Brother Fincher was talking about, if your ministry ever becomes a job instead of a ministry, and you start questioning, boy, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this over here or what? Hey, why am I doing this? Why do I read that? Why do I spend my time with these people? Why do I tell other people about this word? Why do I go to that church? Why do I try to do this? Why? Because Jesus Christ. Period. Because Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ. Why are you going to heaven? Because Jesus Christ. Why do you have peace? Because Jesus Christ. Why do you have strength and comfort and joy? Because Jesus Christ. Why do you have a good family? Because Jesus Christ. You say, how could it be that simple? Because man, we need it to be. We need it to be. It's not complicated. We complicate it because Jesus Christ. That's all the reason we need to hold fast, isn't it? That's all the reason we need to keep going whenever it gets hard. That's all the reason that we need to keep pushing and to keep pressing on. That's all the reason that we need to hold fast. That's all the reason we need not to waver. That's all the reason that we need not to stand. Why? Because Jesus Christ. Why? Because there is an empty tomb. Why? Because there was a cross. Why? Because I was headed for the flames of the lake of fire and now I'm not. We finished up a few months ago Ecclesiastes. If anybody ever asked the question, what is the meaning of life? You take them right to the last chapter of Ecclesiastes, the last two verses. You just take them right there. Right there tells us the whole duty of man. Why do we do what we do? Because of Jesus Christ. Christ. Church, that's the only reason that we need to hold fast and stand fast and don't waver and let that word abide in us. Those are the only reasons that we need. What does Jude tell us? He tells us to earnestly contend for the faith, doesn't he? So we hold on to it. We hold fast. We stand fast. We don't waver. We contend for the faith. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, and I'll give some serious thought to closing. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14. I forget which book it is, but one of the books that Paul penned, he starts off one of the chapters, finally, my brethren, and he wrote two more chapters after that. Which just goes to show you that when a preacher says we're about to close, it's pretty meaningless. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14. I like this one. I like all of them, but I like this one a lot. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. Some people
and I've known them.
They will
buy into every new I call them Christian fads. You know, it might be a book series on. Do you remember when that the big thing was the Prayer of Jabez? Do you remember that being everywhere? Everywhere you looked were these books, Prayer of Jabez.
Okay, and then it's the Jesus diet. And now there's one called the Daniel diet, and it's this. And there's every, you know, they've got those fads and then all these crazy teachings and everything. And you know what they are? They're tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Oh, that sounds right. That sounds good. You know what? That I really like that over here. That won't happen if you keep your feet planted in God's Word and let it abide in you. It will not happen. You stay in the Word and only the Word and keep your feet planted in it and you let it abide in you. It's not going to happen. What's Psalm chapter 1 in the first few verses tell us? Most of you could probably quote this. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Look at the result. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Get a hold of God's word, get planted in it, and let us stand. Back there in 1 John at the end of the chapter, in verse 24. Let that therefore abide in you. Okay, what is supposed to abide in me? What is supposed to stay in there and keep doing the work which ye have heard from the beginning? That's the truth of the gospel. That's the truth of God's word that's been delivered to us. In that which ye have heard from the beginning, if that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. Okay, so John is saying, or the Holy Spirit is saying through John, the gospel you've been preached, the doctrine you've been taught, keep that fresh in your heart, keep that inside of you, and if you will do that, then you'll be able to live a life of obedience to Christ. How are you going to know what God wants you to do if you never listen to Him tell you what to do? How are you going to know how to abide and be obedient if you don't know what He's saying? How are we going to know His voice if we never hear it? That's why so many people have so many problems and they're tossed to and fro. Somebody says something that sounds spiritual and somebody will tell them something and they'll throw in a lest and a ye and a thee, and then they'll think, oh, that sounds like it's Bible, and they'll buy into it and they'll go along with it. Why? Because they're not holding fast. They're not firmly rooted. They're wavering. They're tossed to and fro. They're not planted. They're not letting the Word of God abide within them. That Word can't abide if you don't get it in there. And we get it in there through reading it and studying it and hearing it preached and meditating upon it. You say, I want to be who God wants me to be. I want to be a better Christian. I want to be a better spouse. I want to be a better parent. I want to be a better neighbor. Why? Why do I want to be those things? Because Jesus Christ. Okay, how? Learn this word, get it in your heart, and let it abide. Let it remain. Let it stay in there. Keep it in there. One of the Psalms that gets away from me now, and I've preached on it multiple times. But the psalmist said over and over again, forget not, forget not, forget not. You know why we have to be told that? Because we so often do. Stay in it, hold on to it, let it do the work that it's intended to do. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word and what You have taught us tonight, and we pray that You would convict us if there are any one of us, Lord, that we are not abiding, not letting the Word abide within us, or we're not getting the Word
in our hearts, Lord. If we're not treating your word reverently the way that we should, we pray, dear God, tonight that you would convict us of that. Show us where we're lacking. Show us where we're not letting the word govern everything that we do, where we're not holding fast. Show us, convict us, and help us to get it right. Because, Lord, if you show us and convict us, but we don't act upon it, then it's all wasted. But I pray that you would convict us and help us to get it right so that we can be who you want us to be because of what your Son has done for us. And it's in his name that we ask these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.